Hi Sarah, it's Nick Davies from Reputation Ace. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Great, yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for coming on the podcast today. Very excited to learn more about Miss Millie. Could I start by just sort of finding out a little bit about you and how Miss Millie started?
Yes, okay. So, my background is in marketing and PR, which I did for probably about 15 years with companies like Halfords and Grow Group, a baby clothing company, and ICI. Looking after industrial adhesives, so quite a wide variety of industries.
Yeah.
I took voluntary redundancy from Halfords and went travelling, and that's where everything changed.
Right, yeah.
I'd always wanted to work for myself, but never found anything I really wanted to do. And whilst travelling, started buying jewellery, going around the world, sending it back. And then when I came home, I was selling at festivals, and it kind of grew from there, really.
Wow, yeah. That's cool. I've got some friends that are doing that. They're much earlier on in the journey at the moment, but that's a really interesting way of starting. And I guess obviously, like you said, the redundancy gave you that opportunity to spread your wings.
To go out and see a bit of the world and think about what I really wanted to do. So I was working full time when I came back, alongside then doing festivals and things at the weekends.
Yeah.
And it grew from there, really. So took on a shop, and started the wholesaling side, selling to other retailers throughout the country as well, which is principally what I do now. That makes up 98% of my business.
Right, okay. So what does that really entail? Do you sell to shops or stocking online?
Not so many high street multiples, really. More independent gift shops, clothing boutiques.
Oh yeah.
I sell to some regional national trust properties in the Midlands and other visitor attraction kind of places. So farm shops, garden centres, all these destination
Nice.
stores.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. You do see more sort of nice quality accessories and all kinds of things in these sort of, as you know, farm markets and garden centres and boutiques and stuff like that. So,
The gift side to these businesses has really grown in the last few years. I mean, Miss Millie has been going 8 years now, and I had a similar business before that with my ex-husband, and then we split it. So I've been doing this for about 15 years now,
wow.
and the industry has really changed. Whereas before you'd look for gifts in gift shops, now it's everywhere, and anything that will sell well for retailers, the market is so tough
Yeah.
that, and I mean, and jewellery and scarves and things can sit very well with a lot of other products. So, yeah, the actual opportunities for people to sell to has definitely increased.
Right. Yeah, and there's obviously more opportunity with the internet. Do you how important would you say your website and social media profile is?
Well, in terms of the business to business, so the wholesale side, the website is really my key sales tool. So customers will make their orders with me either online directly to me with a sales agent. I have four self-employed sales agents in different areas of the country, or at trade shows. I do three big trade shows a year,
Nice. Yeah.
and they're probably split very, very roughly, a third each of the business. So the website is very, very key.
Yeah. That's cool. Your website looks really nice and fresh. Obviously, you sell a wide range of things. I'll just go through, jewelry, accessories, scarves, and etc., and the wholesale side. Do you have anything which is, have you noticed any trends in the last, few years of, where you're getting more demand, or does it just fluctuate?
Basically, retailers have become a lot more savvy, if you like. So there's so much more choice on the market with, finding things on the internet hasn't just opened up channels for certain people. It's opened up everything for everybody.
Yeah.
You can find so much more, so you have more ideas, more inspiration. We're battered by it, really. So the demand from retailers has got more savvy in that they have a better idea of what they want. They can see much more easily what their competitors are selling. So maybe they want to copy, or they think, well, they're doing that, and we want to do something completely different. So I just think that the internet has changed how people buy.
Yeah.
Rather than sort of, specific trends for specific products, which
Yeah.
obviously does happen, it's about how we do business,
Right, okay.
and how people buy and sell.
Yeah. For your Facebook page, do you actively are you posting there frequently, or do you sort of is it more you've built the brand up now and it's just sort of so people can see it there and interact with you when they like?
Yeah, social media for me is a bit ad hoc because it's not as vitally important for business to business as business to consumer.
Yeah.
It's something that I try and do because the whole of the brand is important to me. Miss Millie as a brand, it needs to be portrayed very consistently across all the channels.
Yeah.
I've tried working with an agency, but I wasn't very happy with that. So it is something that I am going to be looking at this year, really, to see how we do it. I find it very hard to keep on top of it constantly with everything else that's going on.
Yeah.
But I need to find the right person or people to actually help me with that. And at the end of the day, it has to be measurable and it has to add value to the business as a marketing tool. But it also needs to help drive sales on the business to consumer side.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's the Wild West out there, and with the internet at the moment, you can do, you know, something can work for something amazingly and then just give no results for something else. You know, it's all dependent on the market.
But my background in marketing is there's always been at the bottom of it, your results. You need to be able to measure your results.
Definitely.
And evaluate what works and what doesn't work. And social media is so very hard to do that with.
Yeah.
You know, I always ask new customers, how did you find out about Miss Millie? And I just say, oh, I think I saw something online. Whereas what you want to know is, I did a Google search for wholesale jewellery.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is very hard. A lot of it is about gut feel, I think. And you do kind of, you know, get an understanding of where you think people are coming from and which things have worked. You know, when it's at the point of you can't really nail it down specifically, gut feeling's very important.
Yes, I'm really glad you said that. It's really, I've been hearing that a few times elsewhere. It seems like almost like a known truth. Personal brand and building brand, sort of just accepting the intangibles and knowing that what you're doing is, whether they see you on a Facebook page and they react to that comment and then buy something, or you're just around in their head, you know, and then they finally feel compelled when it's their birthday or something.
Yeah, well, there's the old adage that people need, I mean, I don't know if it's just B2B or maybe B2C as well, 8 touch points before they will actually buy from you.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, you know, I mean, I get this at trade shows all the time. I get customers come on, they say, oh, yeah, we've seen you for the last 3 or 4 years at the show. And we've seen that you're in the magazines all the time and we think we're ready to place an order now.
Right.
So it is really important that your profile and brand are very consistent and across all those channels, so that you can hit that magic 8 as quickly as possible.
Nice. Yes. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah. I like that. So going back to the wholesale is your sort of your main area, and have you built that up through the trade shows and through, I guess, from traveling around and just going along your journey?
Yes, so it wasn't long after I first started selling at the festivals that I thought, do you know what, there are a couple of other people I'd got talking to with stalls who said, you know, we also sell into shops and do this. And I thought, oh, well, let's give it a go.
Mm.
And it went from there, really, through the trade exhibitions. So I do the Spring Fair and Autumn Fair at the NEC, and then one up in Harrogate in the summer called Home and Gift.
Yeah.
So obviously you've got a huge audience of gift buyers coming, so trying to get in front of them. And my background in PR has really helped with getting a lot of editorial coverage in the trade magazines. So there's magazines called Progressive Gifts, Gifts Today, Gift Focus.
Oh, okay.
And I try and get in them as often as possible.
Yeah. Do you find, what's a show like for you then? What does that really, what will that entail?
Okay, so we've just done Spring Fair at the beginning of February, which opened to trade buyers from the Sunday to the Thursday. And I go in and set up Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
Then we have the 5 days trading. And you're there hoping that people will walk past and stop and talk to you. You've got to make your stand look as attractive as possible. The buyers will come on. Quite often they'll spend their first day just browsing around, trying to decide who they want to look at, and then they'll come back and order from the people that they're interested in. It's a chance to show off new season collections. So I do 2 seasonal collection launches a year in January, February time and July, August.
Okay, yeah.
So they're timed in with the show. So basically I'm seeing existing customers anyway and showing them all the new products. And then trying to attract new customers as well.
Yeah. And that's so you have your store. Do you have sort of reps working with you, a few of your salespeople with you, sort of?
It can be incredibly busy, so we try and have at least three or four of us on the stand at a time.
Yeah.
It's a 14-meter square stand, so it's not like there's a huge amount of space once you've got the tables and all the products out.
Yeah.
But it can get very busy, particularly sort of during the middle of the day. So yeah, it's good. It's great. It's nice from being somebody who basically works on the phone and the computer all the time to be talking to people face to face, to actually getting to catch up with the customers.
Yeah.
This time of year was very good to find out how Christmas had been for people, which was overwhelmingly positive, actually, which is great. Christmas hit quite early this year, October. There seemed to have been a trend that I felt like it was moving to Christmas shopping wouldn't start till after Halloween, as Halloween has been growing as an occasion in the UK.
Yeah.
But this year, Christmas started early, which was great in October.
You're right, though. Even in my sense, I normally put the tree up around the start of December, but I think we started just after Halloween this time.
Yeah, I think everybody was so ready for Christmas that it was definitely a longer period. And then January has been very good as well for people. So it's hard to say. People say, oh, well, we're fed up with Brexit and whatever. But it does affect, and it does affect how we buy. But to that extent, I'm not sure. But January seemed to have been a very good month for most people as well. So
yeah, I agree.
It's really good to get that feel at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
good. You've had the same feedback, have you, on January?
Yeah, I think, people wanted to, right at the start of January, we got a lot of calls, people really wanting to push through with, 2020. And, I think the excitement coming out of Christmas, and then that people were ready for 2020 as well, weren't they? I think this time, I feel like more people in business, have sort of gone through and sort of pushed through January and still pushing hard in February and March. So, but with the coronavirus is an interesting one in terms of how that's building.
It's a nightmare for me.
Is it? Could you explain? Tell me more?
I have my products manufactured in China.
Right.
So Chinese New Year, which is always, causes delays, and you have to try and figure out, are you going to get your stuff in just before, or make sure that the factories prioritise you when they come back to work. So, they're off for 3 to 4 weeks generally.
Okay.
So they would have been back kind of 9th, 10th February.
Yeah.
I've had my major factories gone back to work yesterday, and the other one is hopefully end of this week, but still, to be confirmed.
Yeah.
So on top of the normal delays we get, the extra delays and how they're going to prioritise everything.
There's going to be bottlenecks as well, isn't there?
Yeah, because, what's happened is that the ships and the planes, the shipping companies have cut down the volume of what's available because they haven't had anything going through. So actually, once it all starts up again properly, I think there's going to be a backlog. The workers have had to go into 14 days quarantine. Most of them go away from where they work for the Chinese New Year. They've come back, they've had to sit in quarantine. So
it's a nightmare.
Truck drivers are really affected. So actually getting the goods from factories to ports is a problem. And it's now this lack of shipping coming out of China is now affecting Indonesia and India and Philippines and other places as well, because they're on the same route. So I think there's going to be a good few months of delays.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because people's vision at the end of the year and for the new one is pretty much all growth and building, and that's obviously what we focus on. But this will be a really interesting thing for the world economy. Again, we're just gonna have to adapt, aren't we?
On the other side, when I'm sort of designing my collections and things, I go and visit my factories and sit down and do it in China.
Yeah.
I used to go to a trade show in Hong Kong a couple of times a year. And I've just found out, normally I think it's beginning of March, that it's been postponed, along with probably all industry sectors, but definitely in fashion, there's been a lot of trade shows that have been postponed.
Yeah.
Which is when people are planning their next season. So,
wow.
Smaller SMEs like me would have been buying beginning of March for selling in, you know, for autumn winter coming up.
Yeah.
So how people get around that as well is wow. I mean, that's going to be really tricky too.
Yeah. Just on that, and just on the Brexit, is it possible to get it from, source it from UK and have new emerging industries of us building British again? Or is it just really economies of scale can't do it in Britain?
For what I do at the price points, I don't think it's feasible for me. I have looked around, and I just, it means me taking the business to a whole different marketing sphere, whole made in Britain and everything else, and upping all the prices. And
that was just for my own interest. That's fine.
I think it's interesting. I think people that make in Britain, I mean, you know, they're even enjoy that the clasps and all those, you call them the findings, all the little bits and pieces that make up a necklace or whatever.
Yeah.
I would suspect a vast majority of that come from China as well. So,
yeah, of course.
Truly made in Britain, they have got an absolute offering on a plate here and should be lapping it up and taking full advantage.
Yeah, so I'm excited at that prospect. Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's really interesting. That's cool. So what does 2020 have in store? You know, other than that, what do you have, any you know, major things you're focusing on or looking to do?
Yes, I'm in the process of moving the website. I'm on a platform that's no longer going to be supported, so I'm actually changing platforms. And the amount of work, obviously, moving the website with the number of products that we've got on there is it's quite phenomenal. So
definitely.
That's hopefully that'll be happening in the next couple of months' time. So that'll be a big part of it. I'm introducing cufflinks. I'm going to try those. I don't have any other male products, so when sort of bringing in new products, I've recently brought in some purses and things like that. It's trying to find products that are going to create add-on sales rather than replace, you know, current sales of jewellery. So I'm quite excited about the cufflinks.
Cufflinks is a good
samples
one.
Samples are all delayed somewhere.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Stuck in the coronavirus delay tunnel.
Oh God.
So when they come through, that'll be good. It's just keeping on. You know, I'm 8 years in now. Business has grown really well, so it's carrying on with growth, but at a steadier pace, and just consolidating and making sure that that the business is very steady and stable to carry on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's the sort of time where you can. It's nice to rest on your laurels for a little bit and just enjoy it. And then I think, because I've sort of plateaued for a while, and but I needed to actually get a rest to come back with some new ideas and go again. You know,
it's very hard in a small business to actually come up with new stuff or think in a different way about your business, because you're so involved in the nitty gritty that it's very hard to take that high view out of the box look at things and think, well, actually, do you know what, it'd be really sensible to do this instead. It's good. I think as a small, I have you know, a couple of people that I'll go to and have a lunch with and say, right, I need to brainstorm. And
that's good.
You know, people that are completely outside the industry but understand it you know, and understand me. And you need that. You need to be able to bounce ideas off people.
Definitely.
And to help generate new stuff, because you are so involved in the business on a day-to-day basis. You need to be able to see it from another point of view.
Yeah. No, definitely. That's great. I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. I'll send this through to you for approval before uploading. What you've said has been fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Where do people find you if they're looking to, obviously, missmillie.co.uk.
Yeah.
If any shout outs you want to, like Facebook, you've got your Twitter.
Facebook and Instagram. I've got both of those are Miss Millie UK.
Yep, I'm looking at that now. Yep, right, good.
Yeah, and I think Twitter is as well. Actually, I think all three of them are Miss Millie UK.
That's good. Good brand. That's nice. I got your LinkedIn page as well. I'll put all these links in when I pop it through. But good
Brilliant.
Luck with the cufflinks. I think that's a good one, because I was thinking, you know, partners will drag you around a shop and, you know, they'll look at the earrings and stuff, but it's nice to have something for the guys. And cufflinks is one of those things which, oh, that's quite cool. Could
it's one of those things that goes up and down. Like in jewellery, brooches have kind of made a big resurgence. So I'm hoping that cufflinks, you know, people that work in the city and things, I think, wear them all the time. But your more man in the street. It'd be nice if we could get a bit of a resurgence with those as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's cool. Well, thanks very much for your time today, Sarah. Really appreciate
it. No problem.
I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All
bye
right
now.
Then. Take
bye.
Care.